the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
All right, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we're very, very happy to be a part of that little slogan, whether it's true or not, who knows. It's pretty cool, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but stations are going to call it truth, too.
Yeah, there are a lot of stations that call themselves the truth. You're welcome.
Oh, come on, man. You can't say you didn't make that.
Well, I know, but I just like to say that. I want to let my audience know we've had it's been kind of a tough week on the throat. And the reason why I say that is I have been working overtime on a lot of different projects requiring my voice. And I went to the ear, nose, that's what I was arguing with you, Bud, about yesterday. He's sitting there telling me.
What are you talking about?
I went to the ear, nose, and throat guy, and he goes, is that all?
What?
No, but you said that.
Hold on, let me finish. And I said, what do you mean, is that all? He goes, ear, nose, and throat, is that all he knows about? I go, no, he's a doctor. He says, but why does he only know about an ear, nose, and a throat? And I said, Bud, that's a very important part of the human body that some specialists, some doctors specialize in. It's like being an eye doctor.
Yeah, eyes, I can understand. But where you go, like, ear, nose, and throat?
You know, what do you want me to tell you, man? That's where you go if you do what I do for a living, which is use your voice. You go to your ear, nose, and throat guy. Now, he took the old tube, and he looks down the throat, and he says, well, you got a really, man, it's like almost like I had a cold or something. And I said, no, I feel fine. He said, well, you know what you're doing? He said, you are misusing your voice again because it looks like you're beginning to develop these vocal nodules again. Now, a lot of people think when you say that, uh-oh, you got to go get surgery. No, you don't. As a matter of fact, it's not preferable. You should not get surgery. You should instead learn how to reuse your voice so you get rid of that. Because in many ways, it's like calluses on your hands. You know, if you start to use your hands in a better way, in a healthier way, then your hands become healed again. And
you don't have to have the old surgery on it?
No, no way, man. I got to go back and I got to start, you know, doing those vocal exercises again. But as fate would have it, and as the week went on, because I was doing so many different things, it's been getting tougher and tougher. Two nights ago, when we had Vernon Dozier on, it was like I almost couldn't. All of a sudden, I felt like I couldn't talk. So that's kind of what we're laboring under here tonight, and I hope you will understand. Now,
sound pretty good to me.
Thank you, Bud. Thank you very much. What were we told? Yeah. So anyway, make a long story short, I was talking to the guys during the break about, we're talking about different shows that we've gone to see, because the Van Halen that was being played by Chris Norton had reminded Dan of going to see Van Halen back in 84, and then we got on to the topic of opening acts, bands that open, and whatever happened to them, you know, and you can name, mention any show that you went to over the course of, I don't know, 30 years or 20 years or 10 years. And you can pretty much remember a lot of the opening acts and maybe wonder what happened to them, you know?
Yeah, what's that one group you said that you've seen?
Well, I mean, Dan said that he saw a couple of groups. We saw a band called The Soft Machine, which opened for Jimi Hendrix. I saw a group called Level 42 that opened for Steve Winwood, which they actually had a hit record.
Yeah, they had like one or two hit records.
But then you don't hear anything from them ever again, you know? And so it goes. But when I went to Washington, D.C., and this was in 1987, to the Welcome Home to the Vietnam Veterans concert, because the Vietnam vets had been treated so poorly by the some elements of the American public, shall we say, that it was deemed necessary to give them a proper welcome home.
Wait, what do you mean?
I mean, the Vietnam War was so controversial, and the Vietnam veterans were treated so poorly by many people that protested the Vietnam War, calling them baby killers and spitting on them, and a lot of things that were just terrible.
You ever do that?
No, I'm very proud to say, and no, I never did that.
You ever see no veteran coming around?
Yeah, we saw Vietnam veterans. The older brothers of my friends were veterans coming home. You know, I can still remember sitting in the, because we were like the younger brothers playing the folk hippie guitar thing. And one of my buddies, his brother had been to Vietnam and was now home. And he was expecting a friend of his was going to come over. And he says to us, he goes, now you guys, you cut it out with that folk music. you know.
But what were you guys singing?
I don't know. We were singing some stupid Country Joe and the Fish song or something. And he just, he says, you guys, you couldn't cut that stuff out, you know. That's about as rough as it got. So, but anyway, by 87, there was a real feeling in the country, in the United States, that there was a need to properly welcome these men home. These wounds were healing a little bit, and the country was feeling very bad, very guilty for the treatment that had been meted out to these men. So there were a number of concerts that were had that were put on around the country, welcome home the Vietnam vets. They were co-sponsored or co-promoted by the Vietnam Veterans of America and then local radio stations, promoters, and so forth. And many bands volunteered to be a part of these shows. Creedence Clearwater, the Doobie Brothers, Levi Stubbs, the lead singer of the Four Tops, was there, and a lot of other kind of pop bands like the Four, even Frankie Valli, you know.
Who's he?
That guy that sings a high-pitched voice?
Yeah, Frankie Valli was in the Four Seasons, yeah.
What do you mean high-pitched voice?
Yeah, you go like,
oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's exactly how he sounded, Robert.
Well, I ain't saying I'm no singer or nothing.
Yeah, but I know the guy. Then he goes,
Yeah.
All right. God, man, I'm going to start bleeding from the ears. Knock it off. All right. Don't do it, bud. Don't do it.
I just fool around.
Yeah, stop.
Don't do it, man. You know, he's going to kick your ass.
Well, I'm not doing anything wrong. Well, all I did was go, ow!
Stop it. So.
Nothing.
So anyway, there were a number of these groups, and one of them, when I went back to Washington, D.C., there was it used to be a place called the Capitol Center in Landover, Maryland. Hell, it might still be there, but I don't think they use it for anything anymore, do they? I don't know.
I don't know, man. I don't know enough about what's like hockey.
Well, no, but they basketball and hockey and concerts. And we went to this one concert. And so anyway, James Brown was at this thing. Now, I'm telling you, have you ever seen? I've never seen, and I've been around, I've been backstage at a lot of concerts, and I've been to a lot of press conferences. I've got, you know, so, I mean, I've seen all kinds of celebrities. I have never seen a guy walk into a room filled with hard-bitten, crusty newspaper reporters and leave all of them tongue-tied, like they had no, they couldn't say a word. They stood there just, James Brown did that.
What, is he carrying a gun or something?
Shut up, man. Don't be killed, bud.
Shut up, bud. No, he wasn't carrying a gun. It was the mere presence of this guy. Now, you can imagine, I swear to God, I'm not exaggerating. He walks up onto the stage. He's got a chick to the right and a chick to the left. Now, there's two chicks. One, I think, is probably his wife, that brunette chick.
Yeah, that's the one he beat up.
Oh, great. Well, that's, I don't know. Anyway, he's got two women there. Literally, while he's up there on that raised platform, and he's got on the black bodysuit, and he's got the purple cape, I swear to God. And
that's not just an act. That's how the guy dresses like when he goes to the supermarket and stuff?
Not to the supermarket, man.
But yeah, but you're saying that's how he was.
Yeah, he was coming off the stage. That's what he wore in on the stage.
Yeah, but he didn't get changed.
No, he's not going to get changed. Hey, excuse me, let me get changed before I meet the press. No. So there's James Brown. He walks out. He walks up into the thing. He looks at this gathering of newspaper writers at that time, 1987. It's mostly broadcast and print media. And he's looking back and forth. And the one brunette is mopping his brow. I'm telling you right now, she's still patting the sweat off his face. And the other, the blonde, she's, you know, doing something else.
Better not say.
Yeah.
Will you guys grow up and let me finish? Anyway, the blonde is doing something else. And Brown is looking, and he's looking with anticipation. And he's looking. He finally steps to the microphone and goes, any questions? Just like that. Because he couldn't believe these cats are all just staring. Everybody was there just, huh?
Man, I tell you, my uncle went and saw Jim Brown. Said the best show he ever saw.
Yeah, I like when he's all like, you know, he gets the cape and they got to take him off stage to a nut house or something.
Not a nut house, man.
Well, no, they're not taking him to a nut house.
Yeah, they are. Like, when he goes, you remember that one time when we seen where the guy puts the cape on him and he throws it off?
Yeah.
They're going to take him off to a nut house.
It's not a nut house. It's like the cat is overcome with the whole James Brown act. Nut house.
But where are they going to take him to?
They're just going to take him backstage, man. Give him a bath or something.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, so he's going to get a sponge bath? That's about as gay as I am.
Can you be quiet for a minute, bud, and let me finish? That whole part of James Brown's act is he's singing that song, Please, 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 and he's talking about how much he loves this chick and how much it's just killing him, right? And then finally he can't take it anymore, right? And he's being led off stage with the cape over his back. It's a beautiful piece of theater, you know, rock and roll, rhythm and blues theater, and he's just, you know... And then he throws the cape off and he runs back to the mic.
Yeah, that's the best part. He's escaping from the booby hatch.
Why do you think that's a nut house, bud?
Well, don't you think that looks nuts?
Not necessarily, man. It's like Phil said. He wants to go back and start pleading for the woman again.
Exactly. He wants to go back and give it one last try and plead to her as he's thrown the cape off. And he's, you know, it's great stuff. It's hysterical. I love it. And it was almost like that, man, when I saw him backstage. He just... Any questions? Yeah, and I'm telling you, everybody was like, they might as well have been looking at the Queen or the King of England or, you know, the Tsar of Russia or something. I mean, that's how heavy the guy was. All right, we're going to be right back here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445. World-famous Phil Henry Show, doing a little kind of early news and information hour. And, man, it's going to be a beautiful weekend. I hope you get out and enjoy it. We've got the Milwaukee Lions Monday morning at 10 Pacific with Jack I. Gagner. Right here on Phil TV and HD. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Nut house. It ain't no nut house, man.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445.
Please,
what are you doing, bud?
Please, this is it. This is where he goes nuts.
All right.
Please,
I'm going to...
Yeah, right here. Put on
a... Yeah, he puts the cape on and he's begging for forgiveness and everything. Yeah.
Right. Now, what are you doing?
I'm putting the cape on, bud.
I love you so.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are doing your James Brown act, huh?
Yeah, I'm James. Baby!
Yeah, man.
Use that towel.
Use the towel.
Please, please love me so. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
God, man, that's lousy.
What do you mean? It's like you do better than me. Please, please love me so.
Bud, you're killing me, man.
Wait, this is the best part here.
Yeah, that's it, man.
Yeah, now watch. I'm going to start walking like James Brown do.
He doesn't walk like he's got an artificial limb, bud. What are you doing, man?
This is how James Brown walk. Yeah.
Now, this is the only thing I can use for a cape, man.
Yeah, that'll do.
So, folks, you got to get this picture. Bud is walking around the studio, walking as if he's got a plastic leg.
What are you laughing about?
You cats don't even have it down.
Wait. I please. You know, that's a pretty easy song. It's two words. Please and I and I.
Please, please, I.
I, please, please, I.
So you guys got to get this picture. Bud's walking around with a bath towel. It's a beach towel with Mickey Mouse on it. That's supposed to be your purple cape, huh?
Yeah, if you suspend the disbelief.
He's walking like... What makes you think James Brown was walking like he's got a plastic leg, man?
But I'm not walking like I got a plastic leg.
Yes, you are. You're walking around here, man, like you've got some gimped out like you're...
What's so funny, man? What are you laughing at?
He's walking like he's got one of those shoes with the big giant heels on it.
You don't get it, man. You don't know how I feel. I feel, please, please, please. Here, right here.
So now Bud is, so what do you got? What's the bucket?
It's a sweat bucket.
You guys are nuts. It's never going to play, man.
Please.
Yeah, it's easy for you to sit in a peanut gallery and say everything.
Well, I'm just telling you, that whole thing you just laid out there, man, is not...
That's how I feel about it.
All right, I'll give you a credit for, you know, singing how you feel. But I think you need to go back and check James Brown out one more time, because he doesn't walk around like he's wearing one of those fake shoes.
That's not walking around like a fake shoe. He's doing like a James Brown, you know, that what's that dance step he does when he make the microphone flip back?
Yeah, he pushes the mic and then he would flip it back with his foot, flip the stand back, you know.
Yeah, can Bruno Mars do that?
Bruno Mars does a lot of James Brown moves, but you weren't doing any of that, man. You were walking around like you had, why were you favoring the right side of your body?
What?
You're walking around, man, like you got a freaking limp, and that cape ain't gonna make it, okay?
There's nothing wrong with if we dye it purple.
It's got Mickey Mouse on the back.
So?
Anyway, 877-876-7445. So that was the extent of that, and it was quite a show in terms of, what do we got here?
David.
Oh, man.
What? I'm calling up to say, why don't you let the kid develop the act, you know? Because I understand that you're developing a one-man show, is that right?
Yes. Oh, no. No.
I'm just saying this would be a great way to open it.
Having this nut and Robert walking around out there doing please, please, please?
Yes. What's wrong with that? You need an opening act. Weren't you just talking about opening acts?
I don't need an opening act for a one-man show that's essentially going to be a one-man show that's going to be comedy, you know?
Well, you'd need a little break from that. So you open up with Bud. See, what I'm seeing, Phil, and I really resent personally on behalf of Vietnam veterans everywhere that you said Bud was walking around like he had a plastic leg. And
well, he was. He was.
That's my tribute to a Vietnam veteran.
Aha! So you were pretending like you were wounded.
Yeah, but you mean no disrespect.
He wasn't meaning any disrespect.
So, in other words, you're doing this James Brown dance while you're walking around with a limp and a Mickey Mouse bath towel.
Man, you don't get it, man.
What do I need to get, man? What is it that I'm not getting? Okay?
It's a thought that counts.
Yeah, it's the thought that counts.
Get out of here. It's the thought that counts. I ain't going to a birthday party, okay? All right, 877-876-7445. And by the way, you can get a backstage pass to the great Phil Henry Radio website, philhenryshow.com, by simply going to philhenryshow.com, and you click on the VIP banner. That gives you VIP backstage access. That means that you can talk to me as we discuss life's ups and downs, the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune there in our comments section. And, of course, you're also welcome to comment in the comment section, as well as listen to over 4,500 hours of fantastic audio, as well as be a part of our video cast, as well as be a part of other events and other bits of archive material. It's all there at philhenryshow.com, so please do join us. We do a podcast. This week we've been a bit remiss because of the throat condition, as I have been trying to explain. But we did do a podcast for this week, episode 42, and it is a classic. It's R.C. Collins, Bud.
Yeah, but this the one with, what's the one was it?
This is the one with Kiss the Gunner's Daughter.
Oh, yeah, man. That's bad. Man, this is bad.
Yeah, this is the Kiss the Gunner's Daughter, and this is when Harvey Weierman was commandant there at Bradley Military Academy, and Bud was saying something, or excuse me, not Bud, it was R.C. saying something completely inappropriate, and the next thing you know, the commandant said, "You'll kiss the gunner's daughter." Now,
what is that?
It's some naval discipline thing. Now, why it worked its way into a military academy, I have no idea. But it was some 19th century or 18th century form of punishment in the navies of the world. And I think it was literally a man getting flogged while he was laid over a cannon.
Man, everything they done, man. I mean, I don't mean to say nothing, but it sounds very, very homoerotic, you know?
What's that mean?
It means, never mind what it means, homoerotic.
Yeah, what are you, lean a guy over a cannon?
Well, they didn't see things that way then. You're looking at it through the eyes of a 21st century man, okay?
No, how else am I supposed to see it?
You're supposed to see it through the eyes of an 18th century man. You're supposed to see it through the eyes of an 18th century person. They didn't look at things like that. They didn't think, oh, that's homosexual. That was just a part of the discipline of the day. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Please, 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 please love me so.
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Henry Show.
I call you Stutter.
You called me Stutter.
Okay, I called you Stutter. You don't call me Stutter back.
Okay, Stutters.
Anyway, welcome back to the program. Did you guys want to do this?
Yeah, I'm going to do Iron Swine.
Okay, we got an Iron Swine coming up here with Bud and Robert. This is an Iron Swine, brand new Iron Swine, and the further adventures of whatever the hell it is, Iron Swine. Here we go.
It's Iron Swine on a Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Iron Swine is called, and he's got to go do something, but the thing that he's got to do, you know what the thing is that he's got to do?
What?
He's got to go and perform. As James Brown,
please.
Iron Swine got to go to an auditorium, man, and perform as James Brown.
Yeah, please. Because Iron Swine is needed at the auditorium.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I see.
What?
What, am I supposed to get angry?
Yeah, you are.
Well, first of all, it sounds really crappy because you got both songs going.
Turn it off, man! God, you ruined it. You ruined it.
I didn't ruin it, man. You're supposed to...
Yeah, you did. I'm Iron Swine. You're the sidekick.
So, does that mean I'll control his music?
Yeah. Every time Iron Swine go to be on like a crime mission, you're the one that carries the boombox.
Why do I gotta carry it? Because I'm black?
You gonna see a white guy doing that? And another thing...
Hey, all right, okay, come on, you jackasses. You're the one that carries the boom. You're the one that carries the boombox. I can't believe you said that to him.
Yeah, I can't believe you said it either, man.
Well, that's because you agreed to do it.
No, I didn't. I didn't say I'm carrying no boombox.
How do we know that we're going to
talk much?
Forget it.
You know, Bud... Sometimes you just ain't that smart. None of us are, okay? I'm not that smart. And the stuff that you say, and some of the... It drives me ape. I'm telling you. All right. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I mean, what, you know... Talking about carrying the boombox. First of all, if you're doing any kind of a show called Iron Swine or Ironside or anything, what do you mean carry the boombox? The music just comes from... wherever the music comes from.
What do you mean?
If you're on a TV show and there's music, right?
Yeah.
You think there's a guy walking around with a boombox?
Well, how else is there music?
The music that's on the TV show is there, but the director puts it there. It's not actually happening in the guy's life.
I don't understand. When you look at a TV show, okay?
Yes, 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 yes.
Man, you gotta listen to Phil. I think he knows what he's talking about here.
Why?
Well, it makes sense.
Are you two idiots sitting here telling me that you thought that when you watch a TV show and there's music, that somehow that music is a part of that of the character's life?
Yeah, like when we seen that one show you saw,
Rockford Files. I was watching on the TV.
Well, I forget what it was.
Yeah, I think it was Rockford Files. Those nurses.
No, that's not Rockford Files. That's, what, you mean Scrubs?
Yeah.
And you think that when they played music in Scrubs, that was music that was happening...
I thought...
Boy, you cats are in big... I mean, I... You know, I'd almost pay for you guys to go get CAT scans, I swear to God.
What's that?
An X-ray of your head. An X-ray of your head, man. To find out if you got a brain tumor.
Why? Just because we think that the music's there?
Yes, because you cats are sitting here telling me, oh, yeah, that music that I heard on Scrubs, well, that must be music that some guy's playing on a boombox someplace. That's atmospherics. That's the part of the theater of it, you clowns. That's not somebody standing off to the side playing music. Does that happen in your life?
Sometimes.
When does that ever happen in your life?
Sometimes down to somebody be playing music.
Sometimes somebody's playing, you mean like a car radio or something like that?
Yeah.
Well, that ain't the same thing, you knuckleheads. That's just not the same thing. All right, anyway, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. This Jack Ball movie that we're watching here, this thing called Equinox, is about as jive-ass a flick as I've ever seen. But with the sound turned down, I think it's worthy of an Academy Award. That's just the way I feel. I'm Phil Henry.
Some movies are better that way.
All right, let's take a look at the news before I just... Obama, President Obama, honoring the dead from Libya, he vowed to resolve... He vows resolve in the Middle East. This is just a sad, ugly, messed up, jacked up story. This is about as crapped out as it gets, man. Americans getting killed, and it was on the anniversary of 9/11. President Barack Obama vowed on Friday that U.S. resolve would be unshaken by violent anti-American protests sweeping the Muslim world as he honored the return of the bodies of the U.S. ambassador and three other Americans killed in an attack in Libya this week. Leading a somber ceremony with the flag-draped caskets of the Libya dead laid out beside him, Obama pledged to bring justice to the ones who took them from us and to hold foreign governments responsible for safeguarding U.S. diplomatic installations now under threat. The United States will never retreat from the world, Obama told an audience of grieving family members, diplomats, and dignitaries inside a vast aircraft hangar at Andrews Air Force Base outside Washington. He spoke as fury about a film that insults the Prophet Muhammad tore across the Middle East and other parts of the Muslim world after weekly prayers on Friday, with protesters attacking U.S. embassies and burning American flags as the Pentagon rushed to bolster security at U.S. missions. The Pentagon is sending a platoon of Marines to bolster security at the U.S. embassy in Khartoum, Sudan, following similar reinforcements sent to Libya and Yemen. The obscure California-made film triggered an attack on the U.S. consulate in the Libyan city of Benghazi that killed U.S. Ambassador Christopher Stevens and three other Americans on Tuesday. That was the anniversary of Al-Qaeda attacking the United States. The Libya attack, you know, I don't care. If you want me to treat a country equally, if you want me to be respectful of a nation... and say, you know, America isn't the only country in the world. There are other countries, and they have interests. Okay, I understand. I understand that. And America can't just go around thinking you're the... I got a big news flash for you, man. I don't care what their grievance is. I'm never going to respect any country. I didn't say the people now. I'm never going to respect any country. I'm never going to respect any government where this kind of thing happens. I don't give a damn. I don't care what your problem is. You know, I'm sick and tired of hearing about people's problems because, you know, we saw what can happen when a people finally get sick and tired of the totalitarian police states they live under. We saw it happen in Egypt. We're seeing it happen in Syria, even though they've brought down the wrath of Adolf Hitler on everybody. And we're going to see it happen everywhere. It's going to happen in Iran. I don't know who the hell the Iranians think they're fooling. I don't know who you guys think you're kidding. The only way you keep a people down is with a police club, with a billy stick, with mace, with riot cops. That's the only way you do it, you know. And pretty soon, even that won't work. So, and Syria's on borrowed time. That scumbag, what's his name? What's that guy?
That guy looks weird.
Assad, that punk kid son of the other Assad, that guy, he's on borrowed time, okay? And then they'll go through all of this bull crap that Libya's going through. And I say, as a country, as a nation, America, sure, we help people who need help. You know, we stand with people who look to enlarge their view of the world through democracy. Doesn't mean we got to hang around and wait for them to kill us.
What are you talking about, like leaving?
Yeah, I'm talking about leaving. I'm not talking necessarily about cutting off diplomatic relations. I ain't saying that. But I don't see why I got to keep, we have to keep our people in there while their lives are being threatened. What the hell is this? The Libya attack and rapid spread of anti-U.S. violence to other Muslim countries have raised questions about Obama's handling of the Arab Spring. Still unfolding revolutions he has cautiously sought to nurture, even as he seeks re-election in November to a closely contested race. The wave of attacks has reverberated in the presidential campaign, with Republican challenger Mitt Romney and his allies seizing the chance to reassert accusations that Obama has weakened U.S. global leadership. Well, I don't know how you can make that argument when the what's happening in the Middle East is I don't personally see it being that much different from what's been happening down there, man, for decades. What the hell are you talking about? You know, whether or not we went in, I recognize that what we did in Iraq, I personally believe was absolutely necessary, and I completely, 100% support it. But we know that, where there this Arab Spring thing is being, it's being exploited by all kinds of people. People that want what is good for the Arab people, and scumbags like Al-Qaeda. What are you going to do, Romney? You're gonna go in with guns blazing and put quote boots on the ground and start some kind of a military operation. You're gonna cut off diplomatic relations. You know, this is a real balancing act.
Well, what would you do? You're gonna keep people in there.
I wouldn't keep people hanging around. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm gonna cut off diplomatic relations. I'd say, look, you know, well, I'm pulling my people out until you get your act together. Are you kidding me or something, man? Well, are you cutting off diplomatic relations? No, I'm taking my people out so they don't get murdered. You got a problem with that? Do you mind? Oh, that's an insult to the Libyan people. Look at Charlie. I don't need a few more flag-draped coffins to know what the hell's going on. Don't give me that bullcrap and insult to the people. I'm pulling my people out of there until you guys get your act together. Don't give me this bullcrap. I know. Wait a minute. Let me guess. America, the CIA, we're the guys that did it in Libya and in Egypt and in Syria and Iran and in Tunisia and Morocco and of this and of that and some place. Yeah, we caused the whole damn thing. We just pull the strings everywhere, don't we? You know, that song and a dance, nobody's buying that anymore, okay? So find another tune to dance to, friend, because no one is buying that. America's pulling the strings everywhere in the world, and we're just like one big puppet master, and daddy knows what's happening. You talk about a childish view of the world, man.
Yeah, but I mean, America, CIA been doing all kind of stuff.
What is this? You know something, Robert? People talk about the CIA like they're God. I mean, are they God?
No.
No, they're not God, but they know how to do stuff.
Oh, get out of here. They know how to do stuff. You hear some people tell it, man, and the CIA on any given day is causing 9/11, has decided to lose the war in Afghanistan, has decided to win the war in Iraq, has decided to win the and just they decide, and everything is pre-planned, and there's a book that was written in 1831, and it's going according to plan. I mean, this is the view of life and the world of a three-year-old child. That's not some sophisticated worldview.
What are you talking about, man? I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and we were talking about we don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that you guys are talking like a bunch of three-year-olds. That's not a view of the world that is an adult view. That's what children think. Ooh. That's believing in Santa Claus, man.
What do you mean Santa Claus? Santa Claus wouldn't cause the 9/11.
I ain't talking about Santa Claus causing 9/11. I'm talking about some big supernatural guy, man, that speeds around the world and does all this stuff. It's the same thing. Anyway, Obama's latest foreign policy crisis comes less than 2 months before the U.S. presidential election. He acknowledged these are difficult days, but expressed firm resolve to persist in his Middle East policies. I'll tell you one thing, and this is true. The Democratic Party's got a huge problem when it comes to foreign policy, man. They lose credibility every which way. Every time they turn around, they look like a bunch of clowns. They don't look like they know what's going on. I ain't saying that they don't. I'm telling you, they don't look like they're in control because they're trying to play it real. They're trying to be everybody's sweetheart, man. They want everybody to love them. And they want to play it different from the Republicans. And it's kind of like the opposite problem. The Republicans want to have something different to say other than what Obama's saying. So even if Obama says something that makes sense, the Republicans want to distance themselves from that, and they wind up sounding like jackasses, right? Well, when it comes to foreign policy, it's not much different, only it's the other way around. The Democrats don't want to do things the way Republicans do things because, well, hell, that's the way Republicans do things. They want to do it their way. Well, what way is that? When it comes to foreign policy, it's some dumbass way. So I submit that one of the biggest problems we have is that these two parties, in an effort to distance themselves from each other, wind up opting for some sort of a clown act, you know, putting on a big nose, big shoes, and pouring out of a car.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very good.
Thank you. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, right after these very important messages from Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com. And I've got to get Herb Sewell on the line with us because you heard me talking, Herb. What'd you hear me talking about?
I was listening with great interest. I heard the comments you made about the actor Henry Daniell.
Henry Daniell. That, again, a lot of people may not know who we're talking about. Because he was primarily famous in the 30s and 40s, right?
Well, Henry Daniell, exactly. But Henry Daniell also did quite a bit of television in the United States. You understand that he moved from Great Britain to the United States, as you indicated, Phil. And he was on stage in London and then came to California and began a film career. Now, what piqued my interest were the letters of P.G. Wodehouse to his stepdaughter talking about Henry Daniell going to the sex clubs. It's very well known, these kinds of peep show sex club, the sort of libertine, you know, the libertine kinds of behavior, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Right. And so this kind of libertine behavior, which one thought, was a part of
What are you trying to get at here?
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm looking at this film that you recommended, Equinox, and I saw a large claymation ape. Then he picked up a man, and it was an actor, a human actor, but when he picked up the man, he became a clay man that was too big. It was just, it's all wrong, Phil. It's all wrong. And they're using a green screen.
Will you get off of that movie, and can we talk about this thing?
I'm sorry. So, anyway, P.G. Wodehouse,
get out of here.
What'd you do?
I'm hanging up on this nut. He's sitting there watching this freaky flick.
He's talking about that the Equinox.
So what? He's talking to me about P.G. Wodehouse and Henry Daniell and sex clubs and some claymation ape. I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Don't call him back.
Call him back and tell him that he's got to, you know, batten down the hatches here. Come on, Herb.
I apologize, Phil. I really do.
All right. So you're talking to me about Henry Daniell.
So Henry Daniell went to Hollywood with his wife, Anita Knox, to these different sex clubs. Now, what they did in those days is they had rooms where you'd peep through and you'd see people engaged in sex. And this was what passed for kicks back in the 30s and 40s in Hollywood, you see. And Henry Daniell engaged in this kind of thing. That's what P.G. Wodehouse said. Now, P.G. Wodehouse was a notorious freak. And what I mean by that is he loved to get people's goats. And
you know, this is about as boring a thing as I've ever heard you talk about.
I'm boring. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. You're boring the hell out of me with this story. P.G. Wodehouse, I wouldn't know from PG&E, you know?
PG&E, I like that. That's very funny.
Well, okay, but I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. The Henry Daniell story about him and his wife, nobody even knows who Henry Daniell is.
All right. Well, I was going to tell you about this Claymation Ape movie, but you've decided that you...
All right, so thank you very much, Herb. It's been great knowing you. God!
Well, I don't know, man.
You guys put him on the air just because you think he's a freak, which he is, but thanks a lot. All right, we are, one other thing that I wanted to mention don't forget to check out our show log that appears on our website after each and every radio show. And don't forget to get the podcast of each and every radio show that is available to all of our subscribers at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. So you'll be able to latch on to the podcast of each show. And, of course, our archives, every single show going back over 10 years, available there. Our podcast, our free podcast, of course, available through our podcast banner. And then we have the Milwaukee Lions. One of these days, we got to have Jack I. Gagner on, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Jack I. Gagner and Joe Dickhead.
Yeah, both those guys. We should have them on and have them talk. Have them talk a little bit of football. I think I'm going to go out tomorrow night and have a couple of pops with my old friends out there in the San Gabriel Valley, or as we say affectionately, the Gap.
Why do you call it the Gap?
I don't know. That's what my friends in Orange County grew up calling San Gabriel Valley, was the Gap. But I think I'm going to go visit the Swede this weekend and pop down a few Don Julios. I ain't seen those guys in a long time. See what they're up to.
What's he doing tomorrow?
He's going out to the SC game tomorrow. He's going to go see SC, and then I guess he's going to be hanging, and we'll have a couple of Don Julios and see what's up. All right, you guys, stick around. More to come on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.